Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
As I mentioned, this has been Missions Week here for us at Real Life Ministries, and Paul Burns and his wife Stephanie have been on the International Discipleship Team, our missions team, for quite some time. And so this morning, we get to hear a little bit from what I would say both ends of the spectrum of what our vision, mission, and purpose is here at home, which is the same vision, mission, and purpose to the ends of the earth. And so Paul's here on behalf of the missions team this week. He's going to give us some real story, some testimony, give us a little bit of details of what God has been doing, what he's continuing to do, and what we hope and pray he's going to do in the future for us as a church from the missions perspective at Real Life. So this morning is kind of half vision and purpose, in information, but it's also a celebration, an opportunity to give thanks and give praise to God for what he is doing, and also throw out an invitation for what that could mean for you. For you, maybe here, maybe midway, maybe all the way. I don't even know what that means, Paul.
I hope
that you're going to bring clarity to it.
I'll try.
So we're going to jump in this morning. My hope and prayer is that God speaks directly to you, as we hope each and every week, as we talk about his word, his purpose for us as people, and the mission that he gives us. So we're going to dive in. If you've got your notes, I'm looking at the top there. We're going to talk first about what it is for us, what we believe our vision, mission, and purpose is as a church. And our vision is to reach the world for Jesus Christ one person at a time. One person at a time. Yes, we believe that it's the world that God calls us to reach, but we also believe that it's one person at a time. And the way that which we believe we're going to do that is that we're going to make biblical disciples in relational environments. We believe God's word calls us to that. We believe that Jesus specifically calls us to that. Not only does Jesus talk about it, not only does he ask us to be a part of it, but he has shown us what that looks like. His message and his method are not to be divided, they're to be the same. So Jesus made disciples, we want to make disciples in relational environments as he did. Which leads us to what we would call our process, vision, mission, and process. And our process is to make disciples as Jesus did. We're going to share, we're going to connect, we're going to minister, we're going to disciple one another, and that process is to repeat. That's who we are as a church. And so for us, we're going to look at what we would call the biblical model. The biblical model, what God has set forth for his church to be, and what Jesus calls us to do, and that comes from Matthew 28. We've talked about what we would say is the great commandment to love God and love others, but we're also talking about in this context what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission from Matthew 28 says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Or as you are going, where you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I promise I will be with you to the end of the age. The Great Commandment is given to all of us. And he says, everywhere you go, to all nations, make disciples, teach them, do life with them, have them declare that it's true through baptism, help them understand what it means to be a disciple of me is what Jesus calls people to. We're gonna go ahead and tack on Acts 1:8 to that as well, as he says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set for me on his own authority. He's talking about when he's gonna return. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So God clearly says that it is a message to the ends of the earth, but it starts with us. It starts with one person at a time. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission go together. So the biblical model, we see a couple pieces, and then Paul and I are going to continue to talk about this. Paul's going to give some more explanation to it. We see with that Great Commandment to go, the Great Commission, that there's goers. There's those that go. Those that are willing to take the message, to be on mission, to go share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also see that there's those that are who we go to, the receivers, the recipients of that gospel message, of a life that's lived in relationship, of a life that is loving God and others. There's people that receive that, that experience that. So there's the goers and then the receivers, if you will. Does that make sense? And then the whole point of that together is that that's discipleship. It's disciple making. It's what God calls us to do and to be. Goers, receivers, And that's discipleship. So Paul's up here with me this morning. Paul's been around the church for like 433 years.
21.
21.
Close.
I missed a digit in there somewhere. But him and staff have been a part of the church for a long time. They've been serving for a long time. 10, 12, 14 of those years, maybe 20 of those years.
No, not quite.
Okay. Some of those years, but they started out serving in different areas of ministry. Some was our AV tech team running cameras at the Post Falls campus. There were some nursery stints in there a little bit, right? There was also some youth that they were willing to volunteer in. And then eventually, and he's going to tell a bit of his story, they ended up in the missions work, missions team, our international discipleship team. So Paul's been serving for a long time. He's been serving in that ministry with his wife for about 6-7 years. And then just recently, Lord willing, Paul's going to be coming on our team, on our staff at Real Life in Post Falls on the missions team. Not because of he's perfectly qualified, as he's going to talk about, but because he's been willing, and Steph as well, to let God use them. And we're going to talk about what it means to be on the team. How do we be qualified to be a goer? How do I serve? How do I serve here? How do I serve anywhere? That's part of what the message we're going to talk about this morning. Mm. How'd I do?
You did great.
Did I do good?
Way better than Thursday.
I think they're more interested in to hear you talk, so. Yeah? Yes? Okay. That's all I need. So, Paul, we're talking about disciple making. There's goers. You guys have been on the team for a while. There's a lot of folks that are here have been on the team as well this morning. What does it look like for real life for you guys? Who gets to go for international discipleship? What do we believe as a church? How's that work?
So, like Blake was kind of saying, everything that we do internationally is it's the same. We use the same method. We have the same message that we do here at home. So as far as who can go, it's anybody in our church. You know, all of our whole team is made up of volunteers, and the ones that actually go and work with key pastors, they're called international discipleship coaches. And I think we have about 20 of them now, but our team is larger than that. We also have people that, you know, aren't coaches, that don't go, that, you know, stay here and they're supportive. You know, there's a prayer team, and there's multiple areas that you could actually be part of our team, even if you're like, I'd love to be part of missions, but I just don't want to travel to a third world country or anything like that. So, you know, some of the qualifications are, you know, if you're in a home group, man, come join our team, you know, and we would love to, you know, see you move from going to home group to becoming a home group leader, you know. Kind of my story with that is, I guess it's probably been about 9 years ago. I absolutely hated the thought of going to home group. I'm an introvert, highly introverted. And so even just sitting in a group setting and talking scared me a lot. But I noticed that my wife was starting to become an introvert. And so I said, you know, she needs home group. Like, I need to get her connected. And, you know, obviously I would go with her, you know, to be the supportive husband. But so we started to attend a home group. And I hated it. And so did she. Actually, when we drove away the first time, we were like, okay, we need to figure out how to get out of that home group. The guy that led it was a worship leader, so he was kind of artsy, and I'm not. And
I'm not sure where you're going with all this.
All right, I'll speed this up a little bit. Anyways, though, then the second time we went back again, and as we were driving home, we had a totally different conversation about how awesome and invigorating it was, and just the people were great. And so fast forward about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, our home group leader's moving away, and he's asking me to step into that role. And I kept saying no, you know, for months and months. And then finally I was like, all right, you know, I'll do it. We have our first home group meeting. I'm nervous. I probably prepared for about, you know, 300 or 400 hours and still felt like I wasn't ready. People come. I'm sweating the entire time. Feel like I'm going to throw up. They leave. I go right to bed. So, but through that, well, And I was done. I let it for a couple months, and I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Steph didn't want to do it anymore. And so I was praying that God would bring somebody into my life, right? Somebody into my life to help me out, because I didn't want to be done with church. I just didn't want to lead. That was super awkward. And so the church one time, they're saying like, hey, as a home group, you know, all the groups, we want you guys to find a family, a local family, and adopt them, and just through the holiday seasons. So we're keeping an eye out for that. You know, the whole group was, well, we end up finding these three girls in Uganda. My sister had posted their picture on Facebook, and they were orphans. Their parents had died, and they were living with an HIV-positive grandmother. And I don't remember which one of us it was, but we were like, hey, why don't we support these guys long-term as a home group, you know, not just through the holidays? And so we did. And we got some money together. We sent it over there. And I get a phone call from Uganda. And I don't know how many of you guys have ever gotten a phone call from Uganda, but there's a whole lot more numbers that show up on your phone. And which normally I would never even answer something like that, but I did. And it's this Pastor Ronald. And he starts talking to me, and we immediately hit it off, but I'm super curious about what his ministry is like. And as he's telling me about it, I realize, man, I am such a whiner, you know? It makes me a little bit nervous to talk in front of, you know, 10 people, and his ministry is so much harder. Anyway, so little did I know, God was answering my prayer there by bringing Ronald into my life, you know, all the way across the world. Well, at that same time, and we didn't know this until about a year later, Ronald was actually getting ready to turn his ministry over and move to the city and just get a regular job. He was just burnt out. He had just no encouragement. Anyways, so what God had done is taken two people all the way across the world that needed what the other one had and brought it together. That's what ended up bringing us onto the missions team. And as I would talk to him and ask him questions about how they did ministry and start to explain to him, you know, what it looks like to disciple people in a relationship, and then he just started getting on fire for that. And so now he is one of the key pastors that our church works with. And that's kind of how they got me to get on the missions team. I don't want you guys thinking that like I'm some smart guy, that I'm theologically amazing. If I would wager a bet that if any of you guys got into a theological debate with me, you will probably win. I just don't. I'm not the smartest guy that way. But the thing is that's not what I'm offering. You know. What I do know how to do is I do understand relationship, and I understand being intentional with that relationship for the purpose of discipling somebody. And that I can share. Is that all right?
Is that all right? So good. God. So here's what I heard you say. That the qualification to be used by God is somebody that's willing to be used by God.
To say yes.
That's what I heard. Just say yes.
Yeah.
Yep. New Testament tells us that people recognize how Jesus changes us when we spend time with him. Uneducated, ordinary men that have spent time with Jesus are the ones that God calls upon to change the world. Mm. And we say that in real life that we are to be and make disciples. A disciple is someone that's willing to follow Jesus, be changed by him, and to be used by him. And Paul and Steph are clear examples of that. Somebody that was willing to say yes. God, I'll use me when you want, where you want, how you want. They're the example. Being willing to use. So that's who the goers can be. That's what our church is about. Internationally, across the world, and here locally. A group of people that are willing to say, yes, God, will you use me? Wherever I go. Wherever you go may just be across the street. It may be across the dinner table. It may be across the country or across our state. If God is leading you there, will you follow him there? That's what we believe discipleship is about, is being a disciple, one that is committed to following Jesus. And as we follow him, he's going to change us, right?
Absolutely.
We don't necessarily change ourselves. So the moment you find yourself in this morning, God might want to do some work in you. He's going to prepare you to do what he has for you. He does the changing, but he calls us to do it together in relationship. And that's a beautiful example with, you know, a pastor across the world that talks to, well, a pastor, however you want to call it, another person, another disciple here, to where they both had their own struggle. They both were willing to say yes, but it was difficult. And yet they mutually encouraged each other across the globe. God is awesome. He's willing to do that. So we have the goers, right? Whether it's here locally, internationally, our church is about inviting people into it. Those that are willing to be able to say yes, that want to say yes, God can use us. So there's goers, there's receivers, right? And the receivers for us here locally would be, again, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, children, parents, right? Those people that live three houses down that maybe you've never seen before. Those are the receivers, whoever God puts in your path. The receivers internationally could be easy to say, well, I don't know them, or maybe they're so much different than I am. What could I do to help? And I feel that way even locally. What can I do to help? What can I do to help somebody else? There's people that are so much more educated, that have so much more experience, life and even ministry-wise, what can I offer them? Let's take a look at what God's word says. We're gonna be looking in Acts. This is just one example from the early church. I'm in Acts 18, verse 24. And this is Paul has been going around sharing the good news of the gospel in many different places with many different people. And this is one instance. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. That's where Paul had been. He was a learned man. He was educated with a thorough knowledge of the scripture. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew about the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues, and Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home, and they explained to him the way of God more adequately. So there's a greater context to this piece of scripture, but Paul had spent some time with his Priscilla and Aquila and was sharing with them the fullness of the truth of Jesus and the gospel. And then there's this gentleman, Apollo, who was educated, spoke well, fervently, influentially, yet there was just a little tiny piece that he hadn't heard about yet. Just a little bit of a correction, just a little bit of an adjustment that these folks that had spent time with Paul were then willing to spend time with him to help him understand a little bit more adequately. And it says that he went on again to continue to speak persuasively about the gospel of Jesus, that he was Lord Messiah, and that he indeed was God himself. Do you ever feel like maybe there's just a couple little pieces that you could have somebody help you with? Maybe a few things that are just a little bit off? I do. But sometimes I feel like all the people that I'm spending time with or working with or doing life with, they already know it all, or that I don't have anything to offer them. God's story in the New Testament is clearly different than that. And so I know that you guys, Paul, and part of the team, that we go internationally, we go to these different places. Who are the receivers of the message of what we're trying to do? What is it like? How does that work?
Well, what we try to look for is we try to find, we call them key pastors. And it doesn't have to be the most influential pastor in a country, but we're looking for a pastor that, you know, number one, is looking to be discipled and to make disciples. So we really want to find somebody that's hungry for that, that is willing to live it out themselves. If they're not willing to live it out themselves, then they just try to train their church, and that doesn't work. You know, we're not offering a program. We just want them to start to live it out. And so we develop relationship with these guys personally. That's what our coaches do. We get into, a, you know, really deep relationships with them and then try to model that for them. And, you know, we're looking for guys that can be influential, because once they have it and once they see how awesome it is to be in relationship and to disciple through that, then that will start to filter down through their church, you know, their leadership, and then it just filters down into their church, and then we want them to be able to take and share that with other churches in their country, because we know that they can reach their people way better than we can, because they understand their culture way better than we do. And I have an example here, and I'll read this to you. This is a pastor. His name's Christopher, and he lives in Malawi. And we have been emailing back and forth. We've done Zoom calls together. We've been texting, and we've just kind of been developing a relationship along the way. But I just want to read this email that he sent to me. He says, "Dear Paul, thanks for the heart you have to train me in discipleship. And as of now, I am trying to do discipleship, but somewhere, somehow, I find it difficult on how to disciple someone and make that discipled person be able to reach others. This is a challenge with me and my team, and your training will be of great importance since it will fill the present gap. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, Chris." So, let me tell you a little bit about Chris. He was baptized in 1998. He's planted 22 churches. He realizes that a lot of the pastors in Malawi aren't trained, and their churches keep closing doors all over the place. So he started a mentoring program for these pastors, and he has over 300 pastors in this mentoring program that he's trying to help train. So he is not a stupid guy. He's brilliant. He's absolutely loves people. He loves the Lord, right? The stuff that they do is that, you know, these guys once a month as a church, they go up on the mountain and they fast and pray for 3 days as a church, which to me is just absolutely amazing in a country where, you know, there's an awful lot of starvation going on. So that's who he is. Now, he's not coming to me for all the answers. He's not coming for me to disciple him from a new believer all the way up to a pastor, or, you know, just to be extremely spiritual mature. He's just missing one little piece, and that's just one little piece that I can help him with. And along that way, that guy's going to help me way more than I'll ever help him. But that's an example of who our receivers are.
That's really good. Who are the receivers for you? Would be the question I would ask. Who are the people that are having questions that would potentially reach out to you to say, "Hey, I got a question. Hey, would you be willing to help me?" Right? And the type of folks that the international team gets to spend time with are phenomenal folks like this pastor that he just talked about, that is doing tremendous work for the Lord, yet we still need a little bit of pieces from each other sometimes. The church is international. Jesus' church is global, and we are one body with many pieces. And God has designed that body, both locally and internationally, to need each other, to play different parts, to encourage one another, to walk with each other when it's hard, to fulfill the fullness of the body of Christ. That's God's design. And so it's not just limited to our small group. It's not just limited to our local community. It does reach the ends of the earth. What part do you play? I don't know. Hopefully, as Paul has talked about and that you're getting from me this morning, is that you do have a part to play. God calls each and every one of us by the good news of the gospel to save us from our old life to a new one with a purpose. You have a part to play. And look what God has used by one faithful person and his wife to be able to do that. And there's multitudes of other examples. And so before we talk about what the result of that is, right, there's the goers and there's the receivers. If you were to say, what is it that we as a church are offering? What are we saying? I've heard you say relationship. I've heard you say discipleship. What would you say is the core piece that we're about that has been impactful for folks internationally?
I think the biggest part of it is we're offering them something that's not, you know, this isn't a hard thing. And you guys should know this too. This isn't a hard thing. Sometimes we look at discipleship and it's intimidating because it's like, well, I can't disciple somebody, you know, all the way through this. And I don't think you're called to disciple everybody you come across all the way to the end. Maybe nobody, I don't know. But I think you can help people get to the next step. And I think when we get into these countries and we start working with these guys, I think it's freeing for them. You know, they have an awful lot of weight on their shoulders. You know, they'll go out and, you know, do a big open air sermon, and, you know, a couple hundred people will give their life to Christ and they'll baptize them, and then they go look for the next ones. And, you know, meanwhile, these people that are brand new Christians, they have, you know, they don't know what to do, and they can't even defend their faith because they don't really have one yet. You know, so there's nothing in place to even, you know, hey, this guy gave their life to Christ, you know, let's encourage him, you know. Get into a group, let's encourage him. I mean, they've never heard of doing groups. That's a totally new concept. So does that answer the question?
I think so. Here's what I heard you say. That discipleship is something that we care about here. There's the relational component of it. But the culture, if you will, is not naturally prone to being into relationship together,
right,
to help each other grow into maturity, to the fullness of Christ, to grow in maturity. That's just not something that is naturally part of the church or the culture over there.
Right.
It's not necessarily naturally part of our church and culture here either. Right? Right, it's not. That's why we constantly are talking about it, constantly encouraging each other to get into relationship with some authenticity. We all desire it. We all have that yearning inside of us to be in relationship, to be known, to be loved, to be understood by other people, to have people help, to be able to have our burdens be carried by one another. We all have that desire in us. It just might not be naturally our inclination to want to be honest and vulnerable and have people help, to be able to share where my story is for the fear of being judged or being scared or being hurt. Yep, those things are all true and they're all real. But God calls us to function as a body together. I just think that can be interesting that it's the same here, is the same message and method of following Jesus both here locally and internationally. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, and not only is that the same, but, you know, when we go to a different country, we expect the culture to be different, right? And so you get in there and people may say something that would normally offend you, but it doesn't because you give them grace because they're from a different culture. But the truth is it's the exact same here at home. Like everybody sitting in this room, we all come from a different culture. You know, our parents, our neighborhood, our cities, whatever. However you grew up is a different culture. Just look at it with you and your spouse. You know, it's a battle all the time because a big part of that is you come from a different culture. And so you have to try to figure out how can I learn about your culture so that when I speak to you, you really actually understand what I say. So, we're really quick to go over there and just give them grace, but then we just don't do it here at home, and that's a shame.
Huh. I'm just going to let that sit for a second. So you're quick to go internationally, and because you understand that people are different, it's easier to give grace and mercy and forgive and not get offended.
Right.
Just because you're somewhere else geographically.
Right. Weird, huh?
Yet what you're saying here is because, I don't know, is it assumption? Is it we should know better? Is it we don't have the, we're not as gracious and don't give as much mercy and we get offended easier.
Right.
Huh.
Right.
I have one laugh. That's a nervous laugh, by the way. Okay, so we have the goers, we have the receivers. In God's word, when we see that people are willing to say, yes, I'm willing to go, God, on your behalf, I'm willing to share the gospel, I'm willing to make disciples, people are the recipient of that message, of those relationships, of those people making that effort. What's the result? And there's a multitude of scriptures in Acts. I'll just rattle them off. God added to their number daily, 3,000 at Pentecost. There was times of peace. There was influence in the church. The church grew numerically, spiritually, influentially, geographically. The result of when we are obedient to God's call individually and as a church to share and receive, What happens? And what have you guys seen happen internationally?
Yeah. So actually, if we can put up the first slide. This is Mike and Loretta Gutterud. And they're some of our coaches. I believe they were even on the team before we were. And they coach in the country of Burundi. Super poor country. Depending on when you look, they're either the first, second, or third poorest country in the world. My wife and I were able to go on the first trip to Burundi with these guys, and it was a tough one. The hotel that we stayed in, you know, you didn't want to turn the lights on at night because the floor would move. And it was super hot. It was really humid. We only had half a toilet seat in our room, which I don't know why you would only leave half of it, but it was just a tough trip. And I just remember Loretta, she was really struggling and, you know, not sure if she ever wanted to come back again. Anyways, fast forward 6 years, and the pastor that they work with, this is Pastor Peter and his wife Maggie, they have developed a super tight bond with these guys. And Peter, you know, through that now, he has taken relational discipleship into over 300 churches that he oversees in like 7 or 9 different countries. And it is impactful. I've sat in on a bunch of their home groups, and I mean, these guys, it's weird, because if you've ever been in Africa very much, you know, sharing relationally, especially at a deep level, it just doesn't happen. So to see these guys doing it it's absolutely amazing. So that's one example. The other, if you want to run the other slides, these are our coaches from our team. And I don't want you guys to think that to be on the missions team, you have to be a coach. I would just love for you guys just to be part of our team. Just come out, hang out with us. We get together once a month, and there's many different places that you can play on the team. But all of these people devote an awful, awful amount of time to, because it's worth it. It's worth it to be in relationship with people, and it's super rewarding. The next set of slides that run after this one is going to be our key pastors that we work with. And I would just encourage you, if one of those names stick out to you, just pray for these guys. They go through a lot. You know, a lot of these countries, being a Christian is very hard. There's one pastor, we can't even put his picture up, because if it was found out online, he would be killed. And so there's some tough things going out there, but I'm here to tell you that even in the worst countries with the worst persecution, Jesus' methods and his message still work just like they do here. So now, if we go to the next slide, this is the world. If you're not very good with geography, this is it. It's actually round, so we just made it flat so you could see it all. Anyways, so these are the countries here that we actively work in with key pastors, are in these countries. And if you go to the next slide, these are the countries that our key pastors work in, that we work with. And so you can see, we don't have to be everywhere. We don't have to be in all these other countries, because these guys, they'll actually help out and do that for us, because it's very contagious. So as of right now, we're affecting 41 countries. It's crazy to even think about. So
that's awesome. See how God can start whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants. And so what I heard you say, Paul, in that last piece is that you used the word contagious, which is an interesting word right now, and true, by the way. Not only has the team here, the volunteer team, grown, because of what God is doing, because there's tremendous need, mm-hmm. that the number of pastors that you guys have reached have grown through Open Doors, and then who they're reaching as well. Mm-hmm. So who God has allowed you guys to spend time with, to spend relational time with, to learn and love each other and care about each other, that's multiplying. That's growing, and you can see by the picture here. The same thing is in effect here. And you can see the dichotomy that we've talked about back and forth. When we are willing to risk following Jesus and have him change us and have us say, yes, God, I'll go, even locally, it's attractive. It's contagious. People see what is different. It's not necessarily easy, but it's good. It's better. It is worth giving up your life to follow Jesus for the life that he can give. And so when there's people that are attracted to honesty and transparency and love and grace and mercy, because that's not normal in our life, that's not normal in relationship, they know that something is different. Who can do that on their own? Not very many. How many of us can do that as Christ works in us? Every single one of us. We just came off of a series talking about what the Holy Spirit does in us, right? Cultivating what God can do in and through us. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience. Those are all relational qualities. What relationship with who? Might be somebody across the street. Might be somebody at your workplace. Might be somebody in this community. Might be somebody across the world. The question for you this morning is, who is that? And God, are you willing to say, or are we willing to say to God, yes, I'll go? Just say yes, is what Paul said. So I don't know where you are this morning, but Paul, if somebody is interested, intrigued, God is doing something in their heart this morning, what would you have them do when it comes to international missions? What's next for them?
First and foremost, I would say pray. You know, pray if that's the right step for you. If it's not the right step for you, pray for our team. Pray for our key pastors, please. That would be probably the number one. Encourage. If you run into people on the team, just encourage them. Sometimes it gets pretty hard, and especially when you get back from trips. So just to encourage them, keep giving. If you guys weren't giving, that map up there would be pretty blank. So it's what's allowed this to happen. So you guys are already helping us. The other thing would be, every month, the first Sunday of the month at 11:30, over at Post Falls in room 301, we have a missions rally, and we're not going to try to pull you onto the team. We're not going to twist your arm, but we'll talk about our trips, and you know, usually it's the most frequent trip that we just did, and the people get to get up and do a presentation, so you can just see what we do missions wise. And then also, we have a special event since it's Missions Week tonight tonight at 5:30, building number 2 over in Post Falls, we're doing a dinner, and we'll have all of our coaches will be there, and you'll be able to come out and talk to anybody that you want that's in different countries, and, you know, if nothing else, you get free dinner, and we're going to make this baked spaghetti that I'm telling you is amazing. It's got sausage and there's a gluten-free option for all you people that try to use that as an excuse. And one other thing before we end. No, I was just saying.
Touch me like I did something wrong.
Well, because you're thin.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Anyways, really quick, and I know that they're probably not going to like this, but I just want you guys to know that over here is Dwayne and Jackie Anderson. And they have become super special people in my life. They have lived in Ethiopia now for 14 years, 15 years. We sent them as a church. There are only full-time missionaries. They are amazing people with amazing stories. And I love these guys to death. So if after here, before you leave, if you could just, you know, go up and just tell them thanks and just love on them, ask them some questions, that would be super cool. So that's what I had.
He's got it. Awesome. So you can pray, right? You can continue to give obediently and faithfully your offering back to God. Everything that you give here helps go there. We are a singular church, and so your impact can be international. And then there's encouragement. There's some other opportunities. I know there's some information. Paul and the Andersons, and there's another couple of folks from the team are here. You can chat with them out after if you have more questions. They'd love to talk to you about that, about getting involved and taking a next step. Paul, thank you. Thanks for celebrating. Thanks, and for speaking with us this morning.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.